speeding up vaccine to poor countries. I'm David Brancaccio. Ghana in West Africa has become the first country to receive a shipment from an international coronavirus vaccine sharing group called COVAX. The delivery of 600,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine marks a milestone for an initiative aimed at reducing the vaccine divide between rich countries and developing nations. Naomi Grimley, a health correspondent with the BBC, has more.
This is the first shipment to take place under the COVAX scheme and will be used to vaccinate healthcare workers. The actual administration of the shots won't start in Ghana till next week. COVAX plans to get out 2 billion doses to poorer countries this year. At a recent G7 summit, world leaders pledged more money for the mechanism. But the World Health Organization says cash is irrelevant whilst there are still problems with global vaccine supply.
Naomi Grimley with our newsroom partner, the BBC. All of Marketplace's fast-track coverage of the vast challenge of vaccine distribution globally and at home is accumulating at Marketplace.org. In the U.S., some states are enlisting colleges and universities to help distribute vaccine to frontline workers and older residents. In many states, those students, professors, and staff are not yet on a priority list to receive the shots, K-12, college, university. From GBH in Boston, Kirk Carapeza reports that has left frustrated some professors directed to teach in person.
At the Massachusetts College of Art and Design, Taylor Davis is eager to get vaccinated as quickly as possible.
I definitely feel at risk, and then I feel like my family is at risk.
Throughout the pandemic, the 61-year-old has been teaching her sculpture and 3D design classes in person, and she says college professors in Massachusetts should be able to get the shots once K-12 teachers are eligible.
I am more concerned about what a 18-year-old is going to do in their social time than I am a fifth grader.
At the moment in Massachusetts, college professors are lower priority, though.
I'm assuming everybody's in line to get
okay. Inside an empty gym at Boston University, medical and essential workers wait in line, at least 6 feet apart. They roll up their sleeves and get the jab. But BU students, faculty, and staff are low on the priority list for the shots in Massachusetts.
I don't think there's an urgent need to necessarily immunize faculty and students.
David Hamer is an infectious disease specialist who teaches at BU School of Public Health, despite research suggesting some colleges risk becoming super spreaders to neighboring communities. Hamer says testing and isolating infected students, faculty, and staff at BU largely worked last semester. Still, he says BU might have gotten lucky.
You think we dodged a bullet last time. Now we have to dodge machine gun fire because, you know, we're starting out in January with a large amount of virus circulating across the country.
A public health approach is you don't go into the machine gun fire.
Michael Siegel also teaches at BU School of Public Health, and he says BU definitely got lucky last semester. He wants the university to move all classes online, and he points to the existing burden on local hospitals.
Right on our own campus, the Boston Medical Center, the emergency staff, the nurses are pleading with us, please do not send us any more people.
And Siegel says it's the college's responsibility to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 until the vaccine is more widely available. In Boston, I'm Kirk Carapeza for Marketplace.
With the Federal Reserve boss telling Congress yesterday that the U.S. economy has a long way to go before we have to worry about overheating leading to inflation, the stock market seemed to stabilize a bit yesterday with Dow, S&P, both those indexes were up. The Nasdaq still fell 0.5%. This morning, stock index futures are mixed, with the Nasdaq future down about 0.2%. A federal judge has cleared the way for California to enforce its own open internet law. Network neutrality is the idea that everybody should get the same quality of internet service, not just preferred business partners. Marketplace's Nova Safo in California is here with more.
Yeah, David, this is a big deal given how divisive this saga has been. Silicon Valley companies versus telecom giants. This started at the beginning of the Trump administration in 2017 when the Federal Communications Commission repealed net neutrality rules. Now, these were Obama-era rules that said internet service providers, the Comcast, the Verizons of the world, can't favor data streams from some online sources over others, and also that they can't block content as long as that content is legal. Well, after the FCC's move to get rid of these rules, which was strongly opposed by Silicon Valley, California enacted its own net neutrality standards. That was in 2018. The rules have been challenged in court ever since. Now a judge has decided finally that California can go ahead.
All right, so a California law, I think this neutrality approach spreads?
Well, that's the goal. A lot of net neutrality advocates hope that as California went, so would other states. Now they're pushing again in Washington because the FCC soon will be in Democratic hands again once Biden nominates a chair and it gets approved by the Senate. And telecom industry groups, meanwhile, are looking to Congress. They want a nationwide law to settle this issue once and for all, not a patchwork state-by-state approach.
All right, Nova, thank you. Pandemic highlighted the challenge of the long, long supply chains that bring products to us, medical masks from China, medicines and ingredients for medicines from far away. The New York Times is reporting today that President Biden today will sign an order to review these supply chains, microchips in short supply now, the auto industry, pharmaceuticals, sustainable energy, and more. Much will happen throughout the day on our Money, Markets, Workplace Culture, and Innovation Beats. Listen for my colleague Kai Rizdal, host of Marketplace on many public radio stations, of course, or streamable at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.